everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. My name is Cosmo. I'm the first head.
And I'm Dane the kangaroo head.
I'll stop trying to figure it out. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our... I figured it out! Discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. That's stupid. Alright. what's this one?
Well, Cosmo, today we're taking a little class field trip to the courtroom to learn how to do a court.
Yeah.
Hence, kangaroo court is a phrase that I'm not really exactly sure where it comes from or why.
I think it means, like, pretend or illegitimate. You call something a kangaroo court.
Yes, why? Because kangaroos are illegitimate animals?
Because they're notoriously corrupt.
Ah, yes. Rampant corruption in kangaroo communities.
I mean, the white people in that island were all criminals at first. Maybe that has something to do with it.
I wouldn't put it past...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And some... What's the word one?
What word
one? Entomology?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Careful, if you say it wrong, it means bugs.
Right?
And I forget which one's which.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So this came up in some fun role playing we were doing, just, you know, how we do playing role playing games, and the idea was floated, and we were maybe gonna play this idea before we made this episode, but we didn't, so this is a little fast and loose. But the idea was run a session where it's court proceedings, it's a trial or an investigation of some sort in the court.
Yes, and we haven't done one of these type of episodes, a how-to, where we kind of break it down and go step by step. So yeah, how to courtroom. We're going to talk about, like, the important characteristics of a court and what they mean in a role-playing context. And then we're going to go through some scenarios that get a little more specific into... Like, how would you do that scenario? Because we kind of broke it up into categories of ways to approach this.
Types of courtroom drama.
Yes.
All of which are pretty fun. We think this is a pretty fun idea. We haven't done it yet. But if you're listening to this and you want to do it, you should do it. And you
should know how to.
Yeah.
After listening to this, I mean.
Yeah. We'll tell you in a second here. Ready? Go.
All right, first off, like a characteristic, right, the rules of the court. We are mostly versed in the U.S. court system. That is not the only way to do it, but that is what we are most familiar with.
A lot of television.
A lot of television and being citizens of the United States. Yeah, that's something that we learned in school.
Yeah.
Poorly, but whatever.
Yeah, and I would argue that even more so than school, like, you probably did a mock trial. If you went to public school in the United States, you probably did at least one of those. But you probably learned more about courtroom proceedings from television.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that, too.
Right, so anyways, what are the rules of the court, right?
Like, is the court system
off the U.S. system? Because, like, Game of Thrones, they had a non-U.S. system, right? You got, like, three judges and, like, you know, all this weird stuff going on. So what are the rules of your court? Right, you got to think about that before you dive into it. Otherwise, you're going to get to, you know, halfway through and be like,
right,
I've made a mistake.
Who sits in judgment? Is there a jury?
Right.
There's different court systems around the world, and there's different fictional court systems, so... Lots of stuff to pick from.
Yes, and that's where NPCs come into. 'Cause you could run a all-player trial, but, you know, that's weird, I think. Less fun, right?
It's an interesting idea. It's
parties are judging each other.
It's PvP, kind of. But for a one-shot, maybe, you know, could be cool.
Well, that's not what we're talking about here. That's a different episode. This is like let's just start saying U.S. court system.
Yeah.
Right. There's going to be some characters that need that we think need to be NPCs. Right. The judge and the bailiff specifically, like they're the game master. To like game master can keep order that way, mm-hmm. and like you know they have very. They can just keep it on track, right? The trial on track if they're the judge and the bailiff.
Right.
Right. Those are the important ones. For the player characters, whatever their role may be, there needs to be a clear objective.
Yeah.
It can't just be, yeah, they're sitting in like the stands watching a trial because that's just going to turn into the game master monologue
for
2 hours.
Yeah, doing two sides of it or multiple sides, playing multiple characters and then... That's a bad version of this. If you're like, oh, we're going to do this trial, and you guys are going to be, you know...
Observers.
Observing it, and I'm just going to, like, play it out and see, you know, who... You want to just fast-forward right through that and give them something to actually play, probably after the sentencing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Next thing is the truth, right? Common saying here is trials are not about the truth. They're not about justice. I don't know. I didn't write it down. I was trying to go off script. Shouldn't have done that. Okay, the truth. Trials are not always about finding the truth, but they are always about finding blame.
Yeah. Determining guilt, determining legal guilt, like, can you prove it?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, the actual truth of the matter is not... Like, the truth of the matter might not be the slightest bit
in, like, question. Yeah, in nobody, dispute, like, you know, gives a shit about the truth. They're all about finding the blame.
Right. The point is proving, you know, legally that it constituted a crime or that it did not constitute a crime, whatever. And make you prove that, you know, they did do it or make you prove that they didn't do it rather than... the actual matter of the truth.
Mm-hmm. And so that brings us to stakes. Good trial has good stakes, right? Whether it be a murder trial, so maybe there's some jail time. Doesn't have to be like a criminal trial. Can mm-hmm. be like a liability trial. Like, yeah. You know, your player party starts a fight in the town tavern and it burns down. And then the town's like, all right, players, you're going to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to prove that you did it first.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, stakes don't have to be life or death. They can be, like, you know, prison or community service or getting kicked out or a monetary penalty or whatever the...
A fine.
Yeah, restitution. Man needs a pen.
Mm-hmm.
Good fucking luck. I cleared the table off. It was like, oh, I'm going to have such a clean table for
Never
us
mind.
Today.
I'll remember it.
Yeah. Pen's going to be a toughie. Unless we break. But no, we don't because
we don't. We're going
one take, motherfuckers.
One take, no editing, publish it. That's how we do.
All right. So those are the important things to set you up for success. All right. The rules of the court. Who's going to be the NPCs? What roles the players are going to have, where does the truth lie in this mess,
mm-hmm.
and what are their stakes. All right, now let's get into some scenarios to help you better visualize this. One role that the players can take on are the jurors,
mm-hmm.
a la 12 Angry Men style.
Right.
Now, this is a good example or this will be a good thing to take to role-playing because you actually skip the trial. Like
yeah.
in the movie 12 Angry Men, it's mainly about the jurors and deliberation.
Yeah. So skip the, you know, the courtroom proceedings, the opening statements, presenting of evidence, witnesses, and, you know, cross-examination. You're done with all that. You have a summary of that. And players... play the jurors and have to take that information, deliberate to determine their,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Because you can skip all the, like, not necessarily boring parts, but the time sinks, right? Like, if each side has to give statements, that can take the whole session.
Yeah.
Just the opening statements could.
Right.
Right. So this skips all that, gets right in there. Now, as jurors, you get to decide kind of the outcome, right? Doesn't have to be 100% players, right? Depending on whatever court system or, you know, rules you made up for your court, right? There can be more jurors than players. In that case, you know, those will be some NPCs, which can also be great for the game master.
Yeah. And then the players don't know. Right. Wait, did I skip ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Whoopsie. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was mainly trying to lead you into
the evidence.
You know, the discussion of players versus NPCs.
Does
a player majority kind of ruin the whole juror thing? Because, like, will they side with each other?
It's an interesting question. Would they? I mean, ideally they won't for, you know, dramatic purposes. But honestly, it's probably a good idea to sprinkle some NPCs in there. You can kind of, you know, you could use that. The players could, you could use that as a way to kind of tell the players kind of which way the wind is blowing, as far as, you know, opinion in it. Especially if you want to put them in the, you know, protagonist position. 12 Angry Men.
You can use them as shit stirrers.
Actually,
too.
It's this, and you guys need to find a way to understand. You know. Convince the rest of the jury.
And if it's kind of seeming like a snooze fest, like your players are all like, yep, guilty, everybody, then you can, you know, play the whole, like, well, did you guys consider this? And, like, you know, you can bring up some player or some character beef, and then, you know, the players might latch onto that, and then, you know, it gets interesting.
This episode's going to be a lot of media references, because I just thought of another one. There's an episode of Malcolm in the Middle where they sort of do 12 Angry Men, where Lois' mom is called for jury duty, and she's, you know, she's in the, she's in deliberation, and she ends up, to make the rest of the jury actually do a good job, because they go in and they're like, hey, guilty, right? Done by lunch? And she's like, no, that's not how we're supposed to do it. We were presented evidence, and we are supposed to make our decision based on the actual information that was presented to us. So to make them do it right, she on purpose takes a contrary position and then ends up flipping it again at the end, which is, you know, it gets all messed up.
But the point is...
But you could use NPCs to do that in a situation where, you know... It seems real easy, and the players are like, yeah, we're not really engaged with this. It's super obvious. Guilty. Do it. Or not guilty.
Yeah. Right, so that's kind of our advice, is maybe have a mix of NPC and player jurors if you're going to do a 12 Angry Men.
At least one or two.
Just to have somebody in the room there, you know, with the players that can act and kind of push the players to... One way or the other, right?
Right.
Also, what you will need...
is the evidence sheet, which I ran past a couple of things. So, you got to have something easily accessible for the players and yourself to refer back to. The evidence that was presented in the trial, you know, from both sides.
Because since you skipped the trial, like, the players don't have... that much, and then also, even if you, like, gave them a summary sheet, they're probably, and, like, you gave it and took it away, they're probably going to be like, wait a second, so, like, I believe it said something like this, I wasn't really reading it, and you're like, yeah, okay.
You need that there. It needs to be accessible, available, they need to be able to read it, and you need to be able to refer back to it when they're like, you know, well, so-and-so presented this argument, like, yes, it's this.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it can also be a fun kind of, you know, handout thing. Like, there'd be evidence that, like, the players can reference and be like, hey, can we see the, you know, in the movie, it's like, hey, let's see the knife. Bring the knife in here.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, have props and handouts, and we do love our props and handouts here at 2HGM.
We've made episodes about that sort of stuff. Go listen to them. could make it fun. Point is, yeah, you have to have all the relevant information, probably try and keep it to a single page, maybe a half page, if you can, you know.
A summary half page, yeah. Right? But then have more specific mm-hmm. you know, blurbs or something.
So that it can always be easily referenced. Then,
because that's where the crux of this scenario comes right. in is the players do not know the truth, mm-hmm. right? And that's not a problem. They're not trying to fully understand what happened.
Mm-hmm. They weren't there. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
They're trying to make a decision based on what was presented.
Yeah. So the truth of the matter, I would say it's not even necessarily something you as a game master have to know. Mm-hmm. It'd be maybe kind of tricky to write this up, you know, from the side of the game master where you do kind of know everything and, you know, write something where you don't actually know what happened, but
it would help you keep it consistent.
Yeah.
Right? That way your, like, NPCs aren't accidentally, like, you know, contradicting the evidence that was submitted or whatever.
But bit of a writing challenge, but if all you do is write this summary of arguments and evidence presented and, you know, never take that step of
what actually happened.
Yeah, don't start with what actually happened. Start with just, like, this is the accusation or this is the, you know, the alleged crime.
Yeah, I don't think I have the writing chops for that specifically. I would probably start with
it's an interesting happened. Writing exercise mm-hmm. and I'm not quite sure how I would go about starting that, but
it could be done in theory.
Could certainly be done, and I think if you were able to do it that way, conceal the truth from yourself by just not writing it, not creating it, it would make the conceit of this session stronger and more fun.
Anything more to say about players as jurors?
Something in the summary sheet should probably this wouldn't be presented as actual evidence or, you know, included in a summary of the proceedings in a real trial with a real jury, but some impressions of the defendant and the defense and prosecuting counsel, mm-hmm. you know, like this lawyer this lawyer's kind of a sleazebag, or this lawyer did not look like he knew what he was doing. He showed mm-hmm. up unprepared type of thing. And yeah, to just like some impressions that wouldn't count as actual evidence, but you would need to give your players for them to be able to, you know, actually imagine the, mm-hmm. the situation.
My thing that I don't feel like we touched on enough is this scenario is a lot less roly-roly and a lot more role-play-y. There's not a lot of baked-in roles. Like, your players might, like, oh, can I examine a piece of evidence? And I'm going to do a mind roll.
Yeah. Right? I'm going to do a, you know, perception check me. But, like, aside from little things like that, there's nothing contested, really. Mm-hmm. And there's no like action checks or saves to be rolled, so it would be very light on the numbers on the character sheet. Mm-hmm. Those would matter very little. It would be about role playing your character.
And of course, in true HGM fashion, I'm just gonna contradict that right away. You could add in some spice. So like maybe this trial is on a ship. And you guys are deliberating in the captain's quarters, and pirates attack the ship.
Yeah.
In the middle of deliberation.
Could be shaken up. And that's a great, you know, like television courtroom type thing. You know, like something dramatic interrupts the proceedings, mm-hmm. and something from that leads to
something is revealed
about the, you know, character. Or, you know, like the accused. Yeah, he broke out in the scuffle, but then he saved somebody. Mm-hmm. And like, well, can we make him walk the plank? He just saved mm-hmm. the captain's life. I don't know. Yeah, you could dramatically complicate it with some more traditional mm-hmm. action-y role-playing.
Right. But keep it more focused on the role-playing, right? Like, that's what this scenario is for.
Yeah.
Really lends itself well to light on the stats.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next scenario.
Next.
Players as prosecution / defense. Players are playing the opposing councils, or one of the councils. Mm-hmm. Probably not the opposing, but yeah. A Few Good Men is the... You know, is the movie example.
The hot here. Movie reference.
There's other courtroom movies, but...
Plenty of other courtroom movies, plenty of other TV dramas that do an episode about this.
Yeah. This is more like the traditional, like, a courtroom procedural episode of television where...
Or like a mock trial in your elementary in school days or whatever, right?
Where the players are going to be... You know, members of the two sides, at least one of the sides. Maybe, you know, they're the defense, and one of them is the actual accused, and the rest of the party makes up the the defense counsel, and then everyone else in the courtroom is NPCs controlled by you. Or you could have it, you know, opposed. It could be a one shot, like we said, a sort of PvP legal drama.
So this scenario takes a lot more prep. I am kind of blowing past it. Let's back up before we talk about preparation.
Yeah.
So
you gotta stick to the structure of the actual trial.
Structure is very important. Unlike the last scenario, when players are jurors, you can kind of just put them in a room and they, you know, have fun.
Yeah.
Right. This one, you really have to be more structured, right? You know, hence the, like, the judge NPC.
Mm-hmm. Who's the judge has to call the proceedings to order and then ask for opening statements. Mm-hmm. And then both sides got to do opening statements. And then we move on to evidence and witnesses. And you gotta do that stuff in order, and that has to be shepherded by you as the game master.
And, I mean, it doesn't have to be... like piece by piece evidence submittal. Like you can skip that and just like, here's a list of all the evidence that's submitted and like, you know, ask your questions now, players. Right. And then like, you know, you have some time later to talk about each individual evidence if you so wish. Right. Cause we are on a real life schedule during these sessions as well.
Right. And that's a real thing. So bit of an aside, but, you know, everyone who's done role-playing for any amount of time, one, you know how long it can take and how scheduling can be a bear. And especially, you know, just like if you play D&D, oh, this fight. Well, turns out most of this session that I had planned, we're just not going to get to do because this fight spiraled into a two-hour thing. There is a significant risk of that happening in this type of... If you structure your courtroom session this way, it could become that where, you know, the cross-examination of the witness could just go, which is a real thing that happens in trials. Trials don't have a deadline. They go until it's
done. You know,
until it's actually finished. And, you know, they end at the end of the day and go home and resume the next day. And you might not be able to swing that with your, you know, role-playing group and role-playing schedule. So... structure and, you know, moving things along and considering how much time you're going to let them spend in each one of these parts of the trial.
Yeah, I don't
sections.
Know what the appropriate term is.
That's, that's something you got to think about and prep for.
So with that, like your players, not on to prep yet, Dane. Hold your horses. So, players are playing one side, right? Whether they're defense or...
Prosecution,
thank you. There's going to be an NPC opposition to that, right? They should be more like reactionary and summary based, and like, you know, to give your players more time to role play it up. So you should have, as a game master, you should kind of have a plan of what the NPC opposition is going to say,
yeah,
and kind of just stick to that. And if your players go like off script and bring up something new, then you know react to that. But like don't come in planning to be like, oh, I got a great gotcha.
Yeah.
Although of course you know a great gotcha is a good drama bomb.
Yeah.
When you know surprise witness, you know,
anyways. Which isn't a thing in real life, but it is a thing in drama.
Yes. Okay, so now we can move on to preparing. So, because it is a like structured trial where you actually have like opening statements, evidence, witnesses, cross-examination, etc., preparation is key. So we advise that you give the players time to prepare, whether that be you say like at the end of your last session, next time we're gonna do a courtroom thing. Right, guys? So I'm going to, you know, give you the structure. You guys are going to be this part of the trial, right? You guys are going to be the defense. Here's what you should do to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, but also you can, you know, if it's like a one-shot thing, there's no before session. Just like 15 minutes at the beginning of the session, just be like, here's kind of how
it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And prep on your part. I think, you know, what you were saying about, like, the NPC opposition should be reactionary and they should, you know, summarize. Like, you should do a little bit of prep about, like, here's their opening statement. You should maybe know that already so that you can just blast that off. And then the judge can turn to the players and be like, all right, counsel, your opening statement. And for, like, the evidence phase, here's a summary. They, you know, put the accused on the witness stand, and they did a good job establishing that there was a reasonable doubt that they couldn't have been in that place at that time. The timeline, they established that the timeline doesn't quite match up, and there's a reasonable doubt that they had that weapon by accident or whatever. That's okay. Now throw it to the players.
Mm-hmm.
You should prep that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and not or make use of like the kind of natural breaks in a trial. So like after opening statements, have a little recess where the players can like converse with each other outside the trial and be like, okay, well, you know, I think we're kind of fucked here, guys. I think, like, maybe if somebody goes and, like, pulls the fire alarm at my signal, like, we just run away or something like that, right? Then you can bring in, like, that's kind of where some of the roles will come up. And it kind of makes it a little more fun than just, like, a school assignment. Right, which it can definitely be.
It could feel like it, yeah.
So, you know, give some breaks and like, you know, oh, well, my character, rogue character, wants to go sneak into like the opposition council's chambers and like kind of peek at what they got on us.
Yeah, I need to ruffle through their briefcase and figure out who their surprise witness is type of thing. A little espionage. And then that's an opportunity again for how we just like more kind of classic action based role playing.
Another great idea in terms, and like this goes into the prep stuff that we were talking about, is just like give the players the truth or like as much as is known about the truth.
We talked about in important considerations that a lot of times the truth is not material to the proceedings or the results of a case. But in this situation, telling them the truth, that's good because it reinforces that idea. It's not about knowing the truth. Like, they were there, they saw it, or, you know, whatever. They know the truth of the thing. They have to prove it now. They have to prove it with evidence and, like, witness questioning.
Good arguments. And, like, here's where some more rules can come into play. You as the GM are not grading them on their like public speaking, argumentative, or you know, debating
your,
or whatever.
Not your real life ability to do that.
So their opening statement can be something as simple as, well, okay, so my character says or outlines these points, A, B, C.
Right.
And then you can be like, all right, well, you know, throw me a roll. See how persuasive it is.
Yeah, and this is an opportunity for that because you're not trying to persuade the opposition. You're trying to persuade
the judge, the jury, or the judges. Or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe behind your screen, you are asking for some of those roles. Like, okay, that's all right. Your character does that. Now give me a, you know, give me some sort of role for that. And then behind the screen, you're making a tick about, you know, which way the jury is leaning.
Like, oh, this juror totally believes it and is, like, on your side now.
That worked for them. And then, you know, you tot all that up at the end in order to deliver your verdict. The truth is known to the players, but it's not, it doesn't matter.
Right. What it's matters how their characters is
proving or disproving it.
Anything else about players as prosecutors, defenders?
It's probably going to be funny and a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Give it a try.
Yeah.
I don't have much more for that one. I think if I was going to run one, that's probably the one I would do. But we've got another one here that also I think would be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last scenario we're going to talk about today. Players as witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So much like the 12 Angry Men, the trial is not really the important part here. Like, that is kind of being summarized, and, like, you know, the game master is doing the best to, you know, do the opposition or, you know, the defense and the prosecution. And then these players, they fit in here. They're, like, the witnesses, right? And our media example for this is Zap Brannigan's trial in Futurama, where the crew of Planet Express is the witness, or all the witnesses, and they're telling the story. Right, so this one can be fun and probably the most ridiculous because players and their characters get to tell a story and embellish and, you know, hide things,
you get to, and you get to do things in character. You get to relay the events of the incident in character. You get to lie. You get to try and skew the truth in whatever direction you're trying. You get to try and convince people. You get to use a lot more of your character sheet, probably from the get-go.
Yeah. Right. And so this works best if the players actually participated in the events. So, like, in a past session, this thing happens, right? And now the players are the ones called to retell the story. Now, as we often like to say, players don't take the best notes, so don't worry, like, give them the refresher, you know, give them a summary of the events.
Provide them a summary. Even if, and I think you maybe ought to do this, make it pertinent to, like, a previous session. Be like, this thing happened, and now you guys are material witnesses to it. Remember what happened in that session? Still give them a summary, probably.
Yeah.
Give them some sort of, you know, because, yeah, players often, I'm not a great note taker. I feel like I remember things pretty well, but then, you know, you don't if you didn't write it down.
It's hard. And if, like, you know, you didn't come up with it, right? Like, I remember much more stuff as a game master. I have to write down a lot less to remember a lot
because it came from me.
Right, yeah. But, like, as a player, it's like, man, because you're so focused on yourself. Put it on the board. Players are focused on themselves. Mm. Just kidding. I didn't want to put something on the board, though.
Players are selfish lovers.
That's right. We love our players and like doing it. All right. I don't know where that was going. Some sex joke. Put that on the board.
Yeah. Some sex joke.
Yeah, so this one can be tons of fun because even if players have, like, the summary of what happened, they can still lie and change things, right? Because it's their character, like, on the stand.
Yeah.
So, like, if they don't tell it the way that it actually happens, that's funny.
Yeah.
And dramatic.
And an opportunity for role-playing combined with actual roles. Because, you know, if they're lying straight up, then, you know, they might have to roll for that. And then if you, as the game master, are playing, you know, the prosecuting attorneys or whatever, well, then you get to really, you know, turn up the heat on them with the questioning and poke holes in their story when it stops making sense. And that also would be very fun for them to then, you know, try and come back from.
Okay, here's an actual one to put on the board.
Okay.
I thought of one. So, put it on the board that characters can know more or less than their players. And that is true throughout all of role-playing. We've talked about it a lot, in like especially in the context of metagaming. Your characters are the ones actually living in the world. So just because your player doesn't know what happened or like what this monster is doesn't mean your character has the same knowledge base, right? And it works the opposite way too. Just because the player looked at the monster manual and like, oh yeah, I get it, doesn't necessarily mean your character knows all that information.
Yeah.
So that's asymmetrical. No. Anyways, that dynamic is something really to play up in these scenarios for like a courtroom, but it's also something that we think is a good thing to play up in all of role-playing sessions.
Yeah, this is just a place where you could maybe really put it under a spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, well, you might know this, you player, but you know, consider the context your character has for this situation. What would they say, given how they might not be as well, and they've probably watched less courtroom drama television than you have.
But they are living in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Especially...
So they at once know a lot more and a lot less than you.
So, fun thing to always keep in your minds, and that's why it's on the board.
Mm-hmm.
As witnesses, your characters are trying to alter the outcome of the trial, right? By either persuading the judge or the jury.
Yeah.
Right? So...
And alter doesn't mean sabotage or fuck up necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Like, alter as in, like, steer it towards what they believe is the right thing, or they might be actually actively trying to, you know, get the wrong thing to happen. Get someone who's definitely guilty, declared not guilty. That might be your agenda as a witness in this trial.
So it shouldn't be like a memory test, right? Like just what we were talking about. You know, characters have different information than your players, and just because the player doesn't remember it doesn't mean like, you know, the character doesn't. So it's about the way that your character persuades, right? So if like your player's like, well, I want to make the point of like, you know, it couldn't have been him because he's such a nice guy. I don't actually have any examples of how this guy's nice.
Yeah.
But, like, my character does.
Right.
Here's a roll.
Give me a roll for that. How are you able to come up with anything? And is any of it truthful?
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't necessarily have to say all of those things. You just, all right, you rolled good. You convinced him. It's, you know, you came up with some good stuff. And they were real examples. So that resonated with the jury character.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Right. And so this one, bringing it back to the like considerations we talked to, the stakes for this one are a little harder because your players are just witnesses, right? So like it's not like they're going to go to jail or, you know, they're be levied a fine or whatever, right?
Right.
So it's nice to have some sort of stakes, right? And that can be like they're getting paid by...
Yeah.
One of the councils
They've been bribed for their testimony or intimidated
for their testimony. Or like trying to do a favor to like, you know, get some information that one of the like councils has or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Or it could even be the judge too. It's right. Like, hey judge, how do you want this trial to go? Oh, cool. I can make that happen. You know, if you just like let me into the courtroom at night and don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Right, because like part of the quest that you guys are on is
you got to steal some records or something.
Right, yeah. Right. So some form of stakes because your players are witnesses, so like they're not really involved in the outcome of the trial.
Right.
But you can artificially make that so.
Yeah. And. Yeah, impose stakes on them that way. The stakes for them are not the outcome of the trial necessarily, or what's not going to happen to them. They're not going to get the chair if they're found guilty because they're not the ones on trial.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have them, you can, yeah, give them stakes in another way. They should have stakes. Every version of this, the player characters should have some interest in the results.
Mm-hmm. And it can be as ridiculous as, like, the big bad is on trial, and, like, the players are like, yeah, man, we've, like, been picking up after, like, the devastation that this, like, lich has been wreaking all over the lands. You know, we went to this village, was destroyed, this village was all, like, poisoned, you know. We need to lock him up or whatever, right? And then, boom, that's how they beat the big bad. Is they testified.
You know what that made me think of, and it's kind of wild that it never happened, but like that would have made a great that should have happened in Adventure Time at some point.
Mm.
Like maybe in the early seasons when the Ice King was
a pretty prominent villain. The main bad guy. Yeah.
Or even better, because they did a really good job of kind of subverting the idea. It was never a, you know, it was never a stand up fight with the big bads, but if you know this multiple season arc that sets up Gunter as Orgelorg as a, you know, planet destroying villain, and it ended with like trial in the Candy Kingdom or something, that would have been really great. And I don't think they ever did a like pretend as lawyers episode.
I don't think they did either.
But.
Anyway. Yeah, see, it can get ridiculous, yeah. But in the best way, I think.
Yeah. No.
Anything else to say about players as witnesses?
No, I think that's it.
This card does not have a back.
I think that's it. That's three good, well laid out ideas for how to do some courtroom drama in your adventures. Let's recap what we talked about.
Well. Like you said, we talked about three ideas. Players as jurors, players as the prosecution or defense, and players as witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of three important roles surrounding courtroom proceedings. Probably, well, not probably, inadvisable to try to do all three of them and be like, have some players as witnesses, some players as jurors, because how the fuck would that work?
Yeah.
It wouldn't. That's why we split it up.
It would be a mess. Some players would be sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in those scenarios, we talked about a lot of things, but we tried to bring it back to like the important like through lines, right? So like the rules of the court, right? Every court's got its own rules.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a real one. Can make it up.
What is their role in it? What is their role? What is the NPC's role? We talked about that.
And where the truth comes in, because the truth does not matter all the time, because it's not about finding the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, courtrooms are about proving things.
Yeah.
And then to keep it interesting and engaging, stakes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what's going to happen if the trial goes this way? What's going to happen if it goes a different way?
And why does that matter to the player characters?
Yes.
So, think that about do it. For this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you like what you hear, head on over to 2HGM.com. The first thing you'll see, as always, is a link to Afterlife, our original game and setting available on DriveThruRPG. There's also
Patreon.
Patreon and you know, our email, contact us, send us your thoughts, tell us, I don't know, what you thought about it. And there's some just like other odds and ends of role playing ideas, stuff, free PDFs to download of RPG things that we've worked up over the years.
This and that, etc., etc.
Yeah. One real quick one, recommendation I have. We talked about a few different media examples of courtroom stuff that is fun and good to reference for this. I'd like to recommend the two episodes of Psych that did
courtroom
spoofed kind of the courtroom drama procedural thing. One was just a really good episode in season two, I believe. And then in the last season, they did a remake of it where a lot of the same actors came back, but they changed who was guilty, some stuff about the crime, and they kind of shuffled around who played who as far as like the judges and the prosecution and stuff. And it was very fun. Watch them both. And it's a really great case study in how to do this kind of, well, it's comedy. How to do this as a comedy, but also just like the rules of this sort of story.
Yeah.
Because they understood it well enough to do it again and make it still completely different and just as fun. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pond Hill is Finest as the intro and outro to our show. And we see y'all's next time.
But real quick, if you're still with us,
yeah,
you have that little slip of paper from last time.
Yeah.
I want you to write down the second number. The second number is 8. See you next time.